I think Mr. Incredible Faith Man is, he comes in and he brings snacks. I think he's like Santa Claus with a cape. Doesn't get better than that, does it? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Well, ladies, you're welcome. Last week, I had a great time with the men. And so you are welcome, giving you the morning off for making the breakfast.
Oh, yeah, right.
So...
Oh, boy. You gave advice that wasn't so good. So.
What's that? Remember what kind of fake news are you saying now? What? I'm sorry?
How you find us when we're not home? Remember what you told me?
I don't recall. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Find us when we get home? I don't know what we're talking about, but whatever. But it was good. I had a good time, a lot of good food, a lot of good fellowship. Sometimes it's just good to get together and eat and then talk and then eat some more. So we were there about 2.5 hours and then, you know, I was ready to go for lunch. I mean, you know, the plates were there. So anyway, it's probably time to go. But it was a really good time. I had a, if you weren't able to make it, make sure you get into the next one. And like I said, it was all-you-can-eat buffet. So, you know. The bacon must have come from Canaan because it was awesome. It was enormous, so flowed like milk and honey, so it was very good. Anyway, it was a good time. Have a good fellowship. It's good to get away from everything, and the ladies, you need to, it's good for you to get away too and have some fellowship with our ladies as well, and the men, it was nice. So, amen. Well, hallelujah. I don't know how far we're going to get tonight. I'm kind of going... taking what we did last week and, talking about, being blessed this year. But I want to talk about breaking the power of curses in our lives. And this is very important. I think it's something where, in order to see blessings in our life, we need to be free from curses. And we're seeing, I believe where we can see this in our nation now, that we've been under a curse. And with the overturning of abortion nationally, again, it's still the states, but I think we're seeing cracks in the armor, cracks where we can now begin to see some things where we need to be free from curses. And if I always like to look at the curses and blessings, we're going to look at the Bible here. Now, again, I'm not the type of person, I was in a church, in a church years ago where everything's a devil. Right? I mean, been around those people before. We've been in churches before where it's like, everything's a devil. Well, oh, that's the devil. Oh, we're under attack. I believe that the devil does attack people. I believe there are, assignments on people. I think there are things like that. But, losing your job because you don't get out of bed in the morning, that's probably a flesh problem, right? I mean, I don't think everything's a devil. You know what I'm saying? I'm not looking at rocks. Everything's a devil, and I'm not paranoid. And we're not going to go. I'm not going down that road. But when the devil shows up, I want to take care of it. Right? I want to put him in his place, and I want to stop whatever is at work. And sometimes we're not aware of what the enemy is doing behind the scenes. Does that make sense? Yeah. And my definition of blessings and cursings are both supernatural vehicles. There's supernatural power in both sides, right? So for good blessings, there's a supernatural, when we talk about blessings, it is God. There's a supernatural force that brings blessings are a supernatural force for good in your life. Curses is a supernatural thing that will hinder you from being successful, hinder you from your body being blessed. There's things where curses, it's going to hinder you to see progress, health in your body. It's just basically the devil has access in your life that's hindering you from doing things. The blessing we see in the Old Testament, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures, we can see that where a blessing is in operation, that means that God is working on your behalf. And I'm pretty sure that everybody here wants God working on your behalf, right? We don't want... I mean, we don't need, Barney Fife, shooting ourselves in the foot or anything. We don't need that. There's enough things going on in this world that we want God to have kind of the wind in our sails and right the wind to our back, and we want momentum in life. We want these things. And also, too, both can be extended from generation to generation. We're going to look at several scriptures about that. And again, there are things in people's lives that sometimes you can't overcome. You feel like there's a wall and you just can't get through. Sometimes there is a spiritual force hindering you from moving forward. But the great thing is we don't have to be in a sin consciousness. We don't have to be focused on, oh, we can be redeemed because of Christ. Galatians says that we have victory over this. So, you know, it's not something where if you do experience something, like I said, we're not looking at a devil under every rock, but sometimes there are things in your life you can't break through, and sometimes there's things that curse. I had generational curses in my family that I had to overcome. Right? There are things that I saw in the spirit realm that when I got born again and I got spirit-filled, I look back and I see, you know what? Those are generational curses. And I saw myself being sucked into it. I see my cousins and my families that are following the same path. And they don't see it, right? I mean, I have one side of my family, every person has been divorced 3 times. And I have one that's on their fourth relationship, right? And I see my cousins falling down the same path. Now, if you've been divorced, where nobody's condemning you or anything, but I'm saying that there are patterns that sometimes you're seeing yourself go down. But guess what? There are generational curses that are attached to you, right? I know some people, they have generational curses of anxiety and fear. You know, grandpa had a spirit of fear, and they have anxiety, and so and so has anxiety, and I know people is like, you know, they wouldn't get on an airplane, and they won't get on an airplane, and their kids won't get on an airplane because there's fear. Well, they're just things that can attach to you that you may not even recognize that are trying to, you know, thwart some things in your life, right? I mean, I remember I was in toxic relationships when I was younger. I mean, I began to see ravage addiction in my family, right? And some of them, there was even some people that were, had some issues, and there's some domestic violence. I had one side of the family that everybody had been divorced 3 times, and I've got an aunt, she's on her 4th relationship. Everybody on the other side of our family has been divorced, or they couldn't afford to get a divorce, right? They hated their spouse. They didn't like their spouse. I know it's a pretty heavy word, but they didn't like it. So literally, you know, I've been in families where basically every person was divorced or they wish they were divorced. Right? And yeah, I'm not condemning anybody if you've been through those things, but what I'm saying is sometimes there are things that attach to you that you have had issues with, right? And it's time to break these things. We are not going, I'm not going to get anywhere close because of time tonight, but we're going to get into things. And guess what? There are things, even if you're born again, that can attach to you and you don't even know about it. And I'm going to have several scriptures I'm going to show you. But we're overcome, right? You know what? It's like one of those things, you just don't know what you don't know. And that's sometimes like what it is, right? I mean, you know, sometimes you have a life and you think everything's good and everything's great. I remember when I was younger, I thought, man, I'm having a great time and everything. And then it's like all of a sudden I ran into Jesus. I'm like, that stunk. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like my first car, I should have drove it off a cliff. You know, I thought, Addie's car is, oh, I guarantee you, so much nicer than what I had. But it was a heap and it was terrible. But you know, when I was 16 years old, I didn't know any better. It was like, this is awesome. Because it was my perspective, right? You know, when you grow up, I mean, I told my girls and my kids, you know, I mean, the house that we live in is far better than anything I ever lived in as a kid. Way more. I am so much more financially blessed than what I grew up in. And I had a poverty mentality to an extent, right? And that's a curse. That's a curse. Now, I'm believing God's going to prosper us more, right? We got like we got a car, and now we got to buy another car. Talking about buying cars, it's like, Lord, we need prosperity. You got kids and stuff, right? All these things. But God supplies our needs. But the point is this, you know, it doesn't mean necessarily, but a curse can be a mentality. It can be, you know, I'm just saying this, curses come through words. And it can come through your thought process. You can be born again, spirit-filled, and still be under the curse because of your thinking, right? That's church. We just had church right there. I am telling you right now, I was on a self-destructive path because why? Because I saw everybody, and you know what? The whole thing is sometimes our standard is too low. I absolutely believe in hard work. I believe in, you know, there's things, mentors. I think there's all kinds of resources online. But you know what? There are just some things I believe the enemy is working on people that it doesn't matter how many self-help things, how many things you do, how many things you do, we've got to locate some things and break some things in your life. Again, curses. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Verse 1, go there. I'm not going to read the entire. Deuteronomy is all about the curses and the blessings. So it starts out with the blessings. And how do blessings come? Blessings come through obedience. Curses come through disobedience. That's why it's so important. I have so many family members, so many friends there are multiple generations that have been destroyed because grandpa and grandma didn't want to live for God. And the Bible is clear that your blessings or your curses, you can pass on to your kids. I always laugh at those things because, you know, I'm a Gen Xer. And I always see these younger folks online, everything. They always want to be Gen X. I wish I was grew up in the 80s. And I'm like, yeah, you want to do Gen X things until it's time to do Gen X things, right? And I remember on TV, okay, this will tell we didn't have 24-hour TV when I was younger, right? Remember that? It was like, I don't know what time is it, and psh, all the cable TV, all the
anthem.
And the anthem, right, and everything. And then you'd have these PSAs, public service announcement, come up, and they'd come on. And they'd say, do you know where your child's at? It's curfew time. And I'm thinking, we were Gen Xers. Our parents didn't even know they had kids until that came on, right? You know what I'm talking about? It was like, nobody cared. I mean, we were talking about that yesterday. I'm like, you know, my parents were, they were good people and everything. And they were kind of interested. But I mean, just that time, it's just like, we're gone. We're just doing whatever, right? And it was a different mentality back then. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse, we'll do 11, 12, and 13. This is all about the blessings. And this is where we want to live, gang. This is where we want to be. Now, Pastor, this is Old Testament. We're going to get there. Don't worry. And this isn't a works mentality. But Deuteronomy chapter 28, this is what we'll later talk about, Galatians chapter 3, that the Apostle Paul tells those in Galatia about what we're redeemed from, which is this chapter. The bad part. And it says, and the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of the cattle, and the fruit of the ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. So basically, you're going to be blessed if you obey, if you walk in the blessings of God. Your body's going to be blessed. Your finances are going to be blessed, right? Everything about you will be blessed. Verse 12, the Lord will open up his good treasure. Guess what? You're going to have finances too, right? The heaven to give you rain on the land and the season and bless all the work of your hand. And you will lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Everybody goes, you know, and everybody always talks about that portion where, you know, don't owe man and any man anything. Well, why would God say that we're supposed to lend but not borrow? It's talking about love there in the New Testament. So there's nothing wrong with lending. As long as you're on this side of it, not on that side, right? And there's nothing wrong with borrowing money. Because if it was a sin to borrow money, he wouldn't tell us to lend it. We could lend it out, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Verse 13, and the Lord shall make you the head, here we go, and not the tail. You shall be above only, and you will not be beneath. And if you hearken or obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I have commanded this day to observe to do them. So what's that mean? If you're going to walk and obey and do what I tell you to, these are the benefits, these are the blessings. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you, right? And then we're going to skip down to verse 14 through 68, it are the curses. You want to read some gross stuff? Go ahead. It's bad. It's not good. And by the way, in there it says, guess what? If you don't want to serve God and everything else too, all of the diseases that came upon Egypt, and then it says, because guess what? There weren't a lot of diseases yet. You know, the devil likes coming up with more and more diseases in his cohorts. But it says all of the diseases that were upon Egypt and the new ones that aren't even in this book. Basically, like, there's more stuff to come. Wicked, evil stuff that, you know what, if you don't want to serve God, if you want to be have curses in your life, these things are coming your way. And that's not going to be you, right? John chapter 9, verse 1. We're going to get into the New Testament here. We're going to bounce back and forth, but... So the mentality when Jesus walked the earth was, guess what? You do bad stuff, you're going to open yourself up to the enemy. Because of Deuteronomy chapter 28. And the disciples knew it, the religious folks knew it, and Jesus knew it too. And we're going to see he addresses these things. Don't worry. In the weeks to come, I'm not going to leave you hanging. We just don't have time. I got way too much stuff here. But we need to kind of take our time a little bit and understand John chapter 9, verse 1. And it says, and Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? See, the understanding was the bad stuff happened to people. Somebody must have sinned. You know, something happened, they broke Deuteronomy chapter 28, and then these things came upon them, right? That was the understanding now. Now we don't have sin anymore, we just got issues, right? Everybody just got issues, right? They would just pop a pill or something, you know. I don't think it's medication, but I'm just saying, you know, it's never, you know, we live in the land where it's never our fault, right? Jesus' answer says, well, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God should be manifest in him, made manifest in him. Now, some people, I'm going to stop here. Some religious folks want to say, because when Jesus says here, Gary shaking his head, some religious folks want to say, this guy was blind, and that's where God, you know, brought God glory. You know, like people say, well, he, you know, this person died or something to bring God glory. No, the glory came when he became healed. No, not because he said, yes.
So this is the Jack Hayford Study Bible. It says on that scripture there, assuming that an individual case of suffering was due to specific sin, the disciples inquired into the cause of the man's blindness. Jesus, however, notes that beyond the tragedy of human defects, which result in a general way from man's fall and the consequent entry of sin, sickness, and affliction, and death into the world, God's merciful and sovereign grace is available.
Awesome.
To be healed.
Awesome. So there was a curse, obviously because of it, but they thought there was a curse, and that's the result of what happened. This man was blind. And you said, no, that wasn't, again, this was the mentality all the time. Now, it doesn't mean that they were necessarily wrong in their thought process, because again, you know, that kind of, that is biblical. But Jesus comes along, he says, no. And he says, verse 4, I must the works of him that sent me. Talking about, you know, I'm going to do what the Father says here while it's day. And then in verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he spoke, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed his eyes and the blind man with clay. And he said, go to the pool of Siloam, which is interpreted sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, this doesn't mean that we're going to get a ministry. I'm going to carry on a bag of dirt. I'm going to spit in the dirt and rub people's eyes all the time. And this is why it's important that, again, what's Jesus saying? I got to do what the Father told me to do. He's like, I'm being led by the Spirit, right? I'm being led by the Holy Ghost here. John chapter 5, verse 7. This is the pool of Bethesda. Remember, this man was lame. He's sitting here, and, you know, it's okay. I don't understand it sometimes. People, they just freak out over any kind of the supernatural in the church age. We're living in the church age, okay? The Old Testament is all the way up until when Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, and then now we're in the church age, okay? Which is we're in the New Testament. There were supernatural things that were happening in the Old Testament, right? People weren't even born again. And we see an angel coming down, stirred the water up, and people, whoever got in first was healed. There were supernatural things happening in the Old Testament. But somehow, we just, you know, it's hard for some folks to believe there's supernatural things happening. In verse 7, Jesus having this conversation, he says, I can't, sir. Talking about, are you able to get into this pool to be healed? The sick man said, for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. And we go, verse 8, Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Now, this is kind of a big deal because it's what? Sabbath, right? It's a big no-no. Not supposed to be doing that. Instantly, man was healed, and he rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened, on the Sabbath, right? We can't have that, right? It's okay if you die or you may remain crippled, but as long as it's not done on the Sabbath day, right? Ridiculous. So the Jewish leaders objected, and they said to the man who was cured, you can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat. But he replied, the man who healed me told me to pick up your mat and walk. Who said such a thing? They demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd. But here we go. But afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, now you are well. So what? Stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you. Can I just say something here? We're going to get into the weeks before. Just because you're born again, that is not the cure-all for everything. Okay? It is not the cure-all for everything. You know, again, too many times when I was in church, the old, you know, Pentecostal church, and y'all should have been around the old Pentecostal days when I was a kid in the 70s. We're just coming out of the charismatic movement, you know, when I was a kid, and just all the stuff. It was really cool. Just that old-time Pentecostal church. But, you know, the thought process is it's all done when you get born again. That's the beginning. When you get saved, it's the beginning. And I'm just, we've been lied to a lot in the church to think that, you know, it is a celebration when somebody gets born again. When somebody gets saved, it's wonderful, it's awesome, it's incredible. But that's the beginning. And often, you have more problems. Oh, this is going to be awful. You have more problems to become born again, right? I remember when I became born again, I began to have more relationship problems with some people than when I did before. Why? Because the devil does not want you to be successful and to walk with the Lord. And he's going to do everything he can to try to knock you off. Right? And this is kind of a big fat lie that, you know, the enemy and a lot of the churches have, you know, that, man, once you're saved, it's all done, you got in the kingdom. It's not the finish line, it's the starting line. Because guess what? The devil is going to try your whole rest of your life to talk you off of your salvation. Right? You're going to have things along your life. It's going to be like, oh, are you sure you're saved? Because, you know, you prayed and that didn't happen, or this happened, didn't happen, or this didn't happen. But how many times did it happen? And it did work. So the devil is always going to try. He's accuser of the brethren. He's always trying to get you off. And the problem is, and I just say this, we as Christians, and I've been guilty of it, it's just Ader and I, we used to work at a call center when we were in Tulsa and everything. And hey, we love praying for people. I mean, that's what we're here for. But so many people, they're not involved in the church, they're not involved in anything, and they just want you to take care of everything for them. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. I want you to pray for me. Okay, I can pray for you, but what about you as a believer? What about us as believers? What about, again, taking personal responsibility for things? And that's part of a believer, and we're going to get more scriptures. Oh, boy. I'm excited about it. But coming out of a curse mentality and become a blessed mentality, and then all of our little charismatic minds want to go, oh, blessed, we think dollar signs, right? We always think money. We always think these things instead of going from the problem with the Hebrews when they came out of Egypt was they had a slavery mentality and they couldn't change their mentality. What was the big thing that hindered them from moving from Egypt into Canaan, the promised land? It was not God. It was their slave mentality. They couldn't get out of a cursed mentality. That was it. That's all it came down to. They could not get out of a cursed mentality. What did they do? Right as soon as Moses went up there to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, what are they doing? They sucker Aaron into making a golden calf. And they go right back to that garbage. Right? That's a cursed mentality. You know, we can be born again, we can be spirit-filled, and still live under cursed symptoms. We can still have a cursed mentality. I got plenty of examples. I got plenty of scriptures that we just get born again and we just get spirit-filled and we rattle off in tongues and everything's great. You know what? Getting born again is great. Speaking in tongues, we need to do it all the time. Just in the shower today, I'm just, woo, glory, hallelujah. Right? And you know what? Just because I get Holy Ghost goose pimples, it does not mean that there are things in my life hindering me from breaking loose and other things in my life, whether it's finances, relationships, whatever it is. Preaching pretty good right now, I'll tell you what. I want to go on. Okay, let's do this. Let's go to. I want to get through Galatians chapter 3, verse 11 through 14. Make a couple comments, and then we'll call it. But Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Now this is where Apostle Paul tells us that we are no longer part of the curse. And you know what? If you're born again, you are no longer part of the curse, right? You are no longer part of the curse. But sometimes the enemy can come along and put symptoms and things on you that will slow you down. The whole New Testament, Paul's writings are to what? People. Now, let me just back up here. Let me make one statement. If being born again was the key, and we didn't have to worry about anything, and just when we get born again and we say that prayer and we become baptized in the Holy Spirit, We would not need the Bible. We would not need Paul's writings, right? What is Paul's writings? What's the Bible? It's all about, hey, you need to walk circumcept unto the Lord, right? 1 Corinthians. I mean, Corinthians. Paul's writing Corinthians. He's like, you know what? You're perverts. You're out of control. These are born again people. These are born again. Born again, spirit-filled people. They go in, they drink all the wine, and they get drunk, and they eat all the bread, and then guess what? They're dying too early. Oops. They're saved. They're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul's even saying, you know what? You're so out of control that you're getting drunk, you're living in more immorality, and in fact, the heathens don't even do what you're doing. But they're born again. They're saved. No, they're not. They're living under the curse still. You can be born again, and you can still have the curse. It doesn't mean anything. It just means you got God living in you, but you're still a slave to the world. Right? 1 John, John's epistle. He wrote to, he was Peter and John were both in Jerusalem there, right? The whole 1 John is devoted to walking in love. Really? Well, if we were born again and we were spirit-filled, and that was all that we needed, then we don't need John's writing telling us we need to walk in love. Can you see what I'm talking about? Just because we're born again and we're deceived to think that we're born again and we're spirit-filled and we got all the answers and everything's going to be wonderful, that's a big fat lie. Because I know pastors that are carnal rats. And it didn't mean anything. I'm telling you right now. I'm preaching pretty good. All right. I get to dig up some stuff tonight. I got something. I'm even going to talk about what Brother Hagin dealt with. Kenneth Hagin dealt with this. You don't like that, huh? Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11 says, now this is evidence that no person's Amplified Classic, so it might take a while, okay? We'll get chatter tonight. You're gonna eat tonight, okay? All right. I know I could probably. Now it is the evidence that no person is justified, declared righteous, and brought into right standing with God through the law, right? So you're not going to do it yourself. I'm not talking about doing it yourself, where you're making yourself righteous. I'm just telling you right now that there is no way we can be born again without Jesus or the power of the Holy Spirit. Got it? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm not saying that at all, that your works are going to get you. That's not what I'm saying. But it says, through the law. For the scripture says, the man in right standing with God, the just, the righteous, shall live by and out of faith. And he who through and by faith is declared righteous and in right standing with God shall live. Verse 12. But the law does not rest on faith. It does not require faith. Has nothing to do with faith. For itself says, he who does them, the things prescribed by the law, shall live by them and not by faith, right? It's just all about doing what you have to do. So you got faith as we're living by faith and we're walking things out by faith because of Christ. The law says you are not, it's not about faith. It's about just doing what you're told. Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us, what? From the curse or doom of the law. And its condemnation by himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scriptures, curses everyone that hangs on a tree or is crucified. To the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the blessings promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Here we go. What's that say? Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14 belongs to us when we accept Christ through Abraham. So those blessings that came on Abraham on Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14, came on him because of that covenant. Now, Christ died on the cross. He became Galatians chapter 15 through 68 for us. Hallelujah. So all the bad stuff, all the gross, weird, yucky junk, sickness, and disease, Christ took it upon us. We don't have to deal with that. So we're Gentile. I'm a Gentile. So that we through faith might all receive the realization, the promise of the what? The Holy Spirit. But I believe this, other scriptures, is we receive it as Christians, but we don't value it and we don't walk in it. Because there is an aspect of walking in these things, right? And again, we're going to see here in the weeks to come, many people can be born again, but still living under the curse. Still having things hinder in their life. Still having these things. We've got to look over scripture. And we see that much of the New Testament are letters written to what? Born-again believers. When you look at everything on the book of Acts, south, all the way to Revelation, it is written, well, the book of Acts is written about, I don't like to say it's the Acts of the Apostles, it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I like that better, right? But especially Romans, all the way through Revelation, it's written to you and I as believers. Right? So when the Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthians about, like, stop sinning, stop doing these things, he's not talking to heathens. He's talking to believers that are born again, that are out of control and living under the curse. Not talking to sinners. He's not. These letters are written to church people. Revelation, John is on this. He's in prison. I mean, the cool thing, but John, Jesus prophesied there at the end. He's like, you're going to live a long life. And they tried to boil him. And, are you trying to cook the guy or what? You know, it's like broil and saute him. I mean, they couldn't kill him off. They're trying to boil him and he wouldn't die. And then all of a sudden they're like, we're just tossing him on this island. And then from there, the Lord appears to him, gives him the whole book of Revelation, right? He's seeing all these things in the Spirit and experiencing things. What's the first part of Revelation? Writing to the seven churches. It's written to believers. Mm-hmm. What's one of the big things John says that Jesus told him? He's like, I don't want you lukewarm. I either want you hot or cold. If you're going to be lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out, right? What are lukewarm people and cold people? They're living under the curse. Oh, I fibbed. Romans 12, 1 through 3. I want to read this real quick. This is very important to kind of leave you with this. Apostle Paul is writing a letter to Romans in the book of Romans to the people in Rome. And these are Spirit-filled believers. So he's talking to believers. Are you with me? And then he starts here in verse 1. Chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, what, brethren? Brethren, that denotes they're born again. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord, right? If we're born again in this room, you and I are brothers and sisters. By the mercies of God, that what you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, wait a minute here. We just read in Galatians chapter 3 that Jesus paid for all this stuff, and now we're not a curse anymore. And no, there are things we've got to do as believers to get ourselves under control, right? Which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, here we go, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man with the measure of faith. What's the one part that Paul did not mention here? Your spirit. Because your spirit's born again, right? I can't save myself. You can't. I can't redeem my spirit. I can't. I mean, that's God's job. All right. But I have a choice whether I'm going to pick up a cigarette or not. Right. I've got a choice whether I'm going to watch, you know, dirty movies or something. Right. I have a choice to make those decisions. And that's what I have control over, is what I do and what I think. And that's what I present to you tonight, too, is this. You know, and this is where I think a lot of people, you know, we've been attacked for this stuff. Well, I don't believe in what you believe. Well, no, here's the thing. You're taking the fringe, any kind of belief system. You see the general belief system, I mean, like word of faith, you're going to see, like, you know, let's say that this is the word of faith believers here. People want to take the fringe, all the wackos, you know, and all the people out here that are on their own, all the mavericks out here, in any kind of faith or any kind, and that's what they're going to take, and they're going to generalize what you believe. And that's what we see a lot. And I think we've seen where the word of faith movement has been, you know, people have taken things to the extreme. We think that we're just going to say it, and we're going to blab it and grab it, and we're going to do these things, and that's not what word of faith is at all. No. It is not. It is not. And so we're empowered to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, but people are not doing what the Bible says. Right? We think that we're going to get born again, we're going to call pastor, we're going to do these things, and everything's going to be wonderful, and everything's going to be great. And the whole problem is we're not doing point A, B, and C to get to the rest of it. But we've got people out there that are lying to people and say, you just have faith and do this, and you just do this, and you just pull this lever and this switch, and everything will fall into place. And it's like, that's not how God set things up. It's just not how things are set up. We're going to get more details into it. But again, often a lot of it is a mindset that needs to be broken. Because I guarantee you, all the people that the Apostle Paul wrote these letters to, all of these people that in the Bible, that the John or Peter and Paul and all these other writers in the New Testament, they're writing to these people, and they thought they were doing great until they needed correction, right? You got people that, you know, they're taking communion and they're dying. It's like, you're not judging yourself, you're not doing these things, but again, they're born again, they're spirit-filled. I mean, you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I mean, all the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit. These people are operating in, you know, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, special gifts of faith. You know, all of these nine gifts of the Spirit they're operating in, but then they're getting drunk, and then they're dying early. And then you got all these crazy people coming out and say, well, you know, God just took them home. God needed it, and God needed this. You know what? I don't know what's going on with people. I can't sit there and judge, well, this is what happened and everything else too. People are saying, well, they did this, and this is what happened, and this is what happened. I don't know what's happening between them and God behind the scenes, right? That's not for me to judge. And I always say this too, you know, I've had people that I've witnessed to that they have, you know, rejected God, and then later, like my grandmother, I called her in California, and she's a heathen upon heathens upon heathen. I mean, she's, you know, heathen. And, you know, she died 2 months later. I don't know whether, again, I believe the word does not return void. I can't say that she didn't give her life to Christ at that moment. I am not the judge and jury of anybody, right? There may be people that I'm convinced we're going to be very surprised in heaven. I'll just say that. We're going to be surprised. People are there and people aren't there. Because there are people, I believe, that they're gonna be on their deathbed, or they're not, and they call, it just says, call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. I don't judge who the technicality of this person is saved or not. But the point is this, I always had this Bible call, one of the deans of Rhema said, he's like, you know, if living life, if that's the line over there of the line, you know, crossing the line over to being backslid, he's like, I want to be as far away from that as possible. And that's the truth. I mean, you know, I want to run to God and be able to experience the blessings. And, you know, people think that, well, you know, you're just, you know, talking about the blessings and everything else too. I want the blessings to come on me and my family, so that generations can be blessed and know the goodness of God, right? I've seen, and I'm sure many of you have too, I have experienced in my family the devil running ransack through my family and destroying things. That's going to stop, right? you can have that stop in your family. We're going to talk more about it in the weeks to come. But I feel like sometimes too, that if we feel like we're trying to do things in life and running into a brick wall, we need to examine, because we don't talk about this a lot. Because you know, we're born again, we're spirit filled, you know, that curses don't belong to us. And they don't. They shouldn't. And I'm not saying that, you know, everybody here's got a curse on them. I don't believe that at all. You know, back in the day when I was, you know, it was like back in the charismatic renewal, and when I was younger, everybody had a devil. You know, we're all barfing in buckets and we're all doing this stuff. And you know, everybody's just like, no, I don't believe that. But I also believe that we can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and know, God, is there something in my life or something that you need to help me with? And be open to the Holy Spirit, right? Because we're going to look at people that were born again in the Bible and they dealt with things. And I know other testimonies of people that God delivered people, they had issues. Amen? Yeah. And I think this is something we really need to talk. Because I just say this, sometimes we don't need prayer for healing. We need to deal with some things in our life, right? We just saw that right there. God just got healed, and Jesus said, okay, now that's fine. Now, just go sin no more, lest the worst thing comes upon you, right? So that tells me that there's something, there probably were some issues in his life that if something else came upon him in the future, it wasn't because he was sick, it's because he sinned and opened up the door for things. Right? Father, we just thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we are blessed, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, tonight that we're going to continue to examine ourselves, Lord Jesus. But we thank you, first of all, God, that you are good and we are redeemed from the curse tonight in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, most importantly, that for your gift, the Holy Spirit, to lead us and to guide us into all truth, Lord, that you would reveal things to all of us during these weeks to come, Lord God, that you'd open our eyes, Lord God, to things that may have been hindering us in the past, Lord Jesus, that we're going to overcome it in the name of Jesus, and we're victorious. And I pray that every person in here is free from any bondage, any thought processes, anything that would try to come against any person here, and we'd be free from any kind of stronghold in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week. Continue. Let's pray for our nation this week. Amen. Moving forward.